As you know, we have begun a series together looking at family matters. One of the reasons that we want to do this over the next few weeks is there are a lot of voices in our culture, in our society, that talk about families. And unfortunately, one of the voices that is too often silent on the matter is the church. The Bible actually has a lot to say about families, and we need to be looking at that, especially given all the other things that are being said around us and all the other influences that we have. We want the Bible to lead us and direct us even in our homes. And so today and for the next about 5 weeks after this, we'll look at different aspects of the family and let the scriptures guide our thinking. This morning, I want us to think together about healthy families, and we're going to use the Sermon on the Mount to guide our thinking. If you have your copy of scripture with you, you'll want to look at Matthew chapter 7. Jesus, speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, is not directly talking about families, but he gives us guiding principles for how we live in his kingdom, principles for how to live the Christian life. And as we look at those principles, we can apply them to how we live at home. We can apply those principles to our family life together. And that's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to look at some of the things that Jesus said in that great Sermon on the Mount and apply them to our families. And so if you'll look with me, we're in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to jump around a little bit here. I want to start at verse 13. If you'll look with me at verse 13, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. Many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." What we learn in that text as we apply it to families is that healthy families are the result of deliberate choices. Here's what I mean by that. He says if you look at life in general around you, there's a broad path. There's a big pathway, and everybody's on this big pathway. And the gate is wide. It's easy. Just join in with the crowd and do what everyone else is doing, and you'll wind up where everyone else is winding up. You just kind of follow along, and it's easy. But he said there is a narrow path for God's people, and there's a small, narrow gate that you have to go through. Now, that gate leads to real life, but it's narrow. It's not the easy way. The broad path is over here, and he says it's easy just to join with the crowd and kind of fall in and do what everybody else in the world is doing. But the way that really leads to life, God's way for God's people, is a narrow path. It's exactly opposite of everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it has caused more trouble than perhaps any other excuse known to man. It's so easy just to fall in with the crowd. But Jesus calls us to be narrow path people. Now, we apply that to family. And when we apply it to family, we realize that if our families are going to be healthy, it's going to be a result of deliberate choices. Instead of just going with the flow and kind of hanging out where everybody else hangs out and doing whatever happens easy, we have to make the difficult, deliberate choices to make sure our family is on the right path. Too often, we wait to see what's going to happen to our families. We just kind of live and see what happens. I want to suggest to you this morning that instead of just kind of living and seeing what happens, that we become proactive. We make deliberate choices to make sure that our families are on the right path and headed in the right direction. Instead of just letting things happen, we make them happen. We make deliberate choices for what's best for our families. Well, that's one of the reasons that church is so important to Christian families, because we are too isolated without each other. We need each other to help encourage us along that path, perhaps to help show that path, maybe to help each other be strong enough to stay on that path, because the other way, the broad way, the big way, that's easy. And we as human beings kind of tend toward what's easy most of the time. I want to tell you this morning, your family is too important to go the easy way along with the rest of the crowd. Instead, we want to apply this principle and we want to say, I'm going to make deliberate choices. I'm going to make conscious decisions about my family so that I can make sure we're on the right path, headed in the right direction, going to wind up in the right destination. So Jesus gives us this principle that is easy for us to apply, easy for us to understand in our families. Healthy families are the result of deliberate choices. But in this same Sermon on the Mount, I want to show you that healthy families are built on thoughtful behavior. If our families are going to be healthy, we not only start making the right decisions, but then we treat each other the right way. Healthy families are based on thoughtful behavior. We were at verse 13, back up one. Look at verse 12. Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. It's what we call the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He says, this is the law and the prophets. In other words, if you and I could really get that concept in our heads, that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us, that we treat other people the way we would want them to treat us, if we could really get that into our heads, then we wouldn't have to worry about what does the Bible say about this commandment and this law and how to do this. All that's going to take care of itself. If we get the golden rule, all the other rules just kind of fall into place. Because once I figure out that I can understand life around me based on how I would want you to treat me, that's how I know I want to treat you. If I could get that in my head, then I'm going to wind up saying the right thing and doing the right thing so that I don't have to worry about all those other rules. They're going to take care of themselves. In other words, whatever you want your husband to do for you, you do that for him. Husbands, if you want more respect from your wife, you show her more respect. It's amazing how those things work out that way. Well, Jesus was wise and he knew they would. If you're a child, you want to think about how do I want my kids to feel when I'm their parent? And you're going to start thinking about how you relate to your parents based on what kind of parent do you want to be someday. You see, you start applying this principle and it can continue to go on. You say, how would I want my children to treat me if I became a parent? That's how you treat your parents today. Parents, you hug your kids. You hold them tight. You tell them that you're proud of them. You believe in them. Even if your parents weren't able to do that for you. Now, this is key. And it's key because one of the biggest obstacles we have in families, one of the biggest obstacles we have as parents, is finding a way to do for our children what nobody ever did for us. If you grew up without the protection, without knowing that your parents were proud of you, if you grew up without hearing every day, I love you no matter what, then you know how much you missed that and how it affected you. So you apply this principle and you say, I don't want my child to go through that. I learned from what I didn't have, and I'm going to make sure my child gets it. And so the first thing you do when you see your child in the morning is you give them a hug. And then you say to them all day, in different ways, through your words and your actions, I'm proud of you, and I love you no matter what. Why? Because you know that's the way you wish you had been treated when you were a child. Maybe you were blessed. Maybe you grew up in a home where that was the case. Every day, Mama told you she loved you. Every day, Daddy gave you a hug and let you know you were safe and protected. Maybe you were blessed. So you know what it feels like. So you know you want your kids to have that. So that's how you know what to do for them. You see, if we could just put ourselves in the position of the one we care about and figure, now, what do they need or what would they want? Then I know what to give them and what to do for them. It's the golden rule applied to family. Healthy families are built on thoughtful behavior. Thoughtful behavior doesn't just mean nice, by the way. Thoughtful behavior means I thought about it. You think about what you do and what you say. And what you think is, if I were in their position, what would I want someone to do or say to me? Healthy families are built on thoughtful behavior. Also, healthy families are honest with one another. Healthy families are honest. If we back up to the top of this chapter now, we're in chapter 7. He says, verse 1, do not judge lest you be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye, you hypocrite? First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What he says is we have to be honest with each other. If we apply this to the family, it works like this. We have to be honest with each other enough to say, I know I'm not perfect. I know that I've got a telephone pole sticking out of my eye. And because I've got a telephone pole sticking out of my eye, I'm going to work on that because my ultimate goal is to help you with the speck in yours. Unfortunately, what happens so often is we become overcritical at home. We judge each other too harshly. Parents, don't require perfection of your children. Children, don't expect perfection from your parents. Parents, your kids are not going to be perfect. If you hold them up to a standard that says, I'm going to criticize you and I'm going to judge you until you reach this impossible standard, guess what? You and your child are both going to live unhappy lives. However, children, if you've got the idea that mom and dad are supposed to do everything right and perfect every time, you're going to be very unhappy a very long time because mama ain't going to get it right and daddy ain't going to get it right every time. It's not going to happen. You got to allow your parents the opportunity to be human enough to make mistakes sometimes, even when those mistakes affect you, because they're human. Parents, you got to let the kids make mistakes somewhere along the way and lovingly train them without having a standard of perfection where they feel like they get up every morning and they feel like, I'm going to let them down again. You see, we got to be honest with each other. We got to be honest enough to say, I know I'm not 100% who I need to be. And I know you're not 100% who you need to be, but as family, we're going to work on these things together. It becomes way too easy for us to to judge and to criticize. Parents, let me tell you something else that I think is incredibly dangerous, and we may not even realize it. That's when we put our kids in competition with each other. I hear it all the time. I hear a mama got the kids right here in front of them, and she'll put her hand on one and say, "This is my smart one. This is my funny one." Now, what you just told them is you just told this kid you're not smart, and you just told that kid you're not funny. See, we become real critical. We need to be careful what we say to others when the kids are around. As soon as you say, "She always does so-and-so," guess what? From now on, she is always going to do so-and-so because you just defined her. You just told her what she always does, and she will. We need to be really careful with the words that we use so that we're not overly critical, overly judgmental, particularly when we're talking to others in front of the children. Why? Because healthy families are honest with one another. We accept the fact that we all have flaws, and we're willing to honestly address that within the family structure of love and acceptance. Healthy families are honest with each other. Healthy families also, boy, that sentence makes no sense at all. Healthy families are not as interested in getting as they are in giving. In other words, healthy families are more. I think that's one of those autocorrect things. That word "note," I think, should be "more." Healthy families are more interested in giving than they are in getting. They're more interested in giving than they are in getting. Look again at verse 2. We ran over it kind of quickly, but look again at verse 2. "For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. What you give, you will get. What goes around comes around. What you reap, you sow. How many more cliches can we use? You get the point. This powerful principle relates to love and caring in the family. When we love unconditionally, our gift of love comes back to us. So all of a sudden now, my goal is not to make sure that I get attention. My goal is to give you attention. My goal is not to get this unconditional love, but to give this unconditional love. All the while knowing that if I give that to you, it's going to create a healthy environment in which I will then eventually receive the same unconditional love, the same attention, the same respect. The way it works is I focus on giving instead of getting. It's about what I can do for you instead of what I can get for me. Healthy families think that way. Healthy families think about giving to the other persons in the family instead of always thinking about why aren't I getting mine. Healthy families also are protected by faithfulness. Healthy families are protected by faithfulness. Continuing in this same chapter, we look at verse 6. He says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Again, we're going to take the spiritual principle and apply it to the family. And you think about that, he says, don't take what is holy, what is beautiful, what is meaningful, and throw it to the dogs. If you had a nice new pearl necklace, or let's say it's not even new, let's say it's great-grandma's pearl necklace with matching pearl earrings. You've got these beautiful pearls worth hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars. You're not going to go out to the pig pen and toss them to the pigs to see what they do with them. You're going to value it because it's a treasure. We need to apply that same principle to families. Because when a spouse takes the precious treasures of the marital relationship and gives them to the dogs, the unworthy ones, those same dogs will eventually trample over your life and bring destruction. See, that's what he said there in verse 6. Don't give what is holy to dogs. Don't throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. You see, when we take that which should be holy, which should be beautiful, which should be honored and respected, and we disrespect it, we give it to the dogs and the pigs around us, you can count on the fact that those dogs and pigs are going to turn on us. It's going to lead to pain and destruction. Healthy families honor fidelity and trustworthiness. Healthy families are protected by faithfulness. And finally, healthy families are enriched by prayer. Let's pick up where we are now at verse 7. He says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you when his son shall ask him for a loaf, would give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Healthy families are enriched by prayer. You need, if you need, you ask. If you're searching, you look for it. If you need something opened, you knock. You enter into a relational conversation with God. I was talking to a man just recently, and he's not used to personal Bible study. It's something kind of a new concept for him. Personal devotional time was something that he just has not been a part of his life. And so we were talking about how that works. And I encouraged him to start in the book of John. By the way, if a personal devotional time every day is not a part of your life, I'm going to tell you the same thing. I would encourage you to start in the book of John. John is so relational and so clear about who Jesus is, and it helps us understand him and build that relationship. And so I told this man, you know, you want to start in the book of John, and you want to spend some time praying. And so we talked about how that works, and he didn't really get the connection until I said, it's just a conversation. You talk, when I'm sitting here talking to you right now, I talk, then you talk, then I talk, then you talk, it's a conversation. That's how the word and prayer works in our lives with God. Prayer is me talking to God, and then I open the Bible, and he talks back to me. And then I talk to him in prayer, and then I open the Bible, and he talks back to me. That's the conversation that we have. Families will be enriched when each member and the family as a whole makes conversation with God a part of our lives. Healthy families are enriched by prayer. And so Jesus says, even here in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, if you need something, you ask for it. If you're looking for something, you got to keep looking till I show it to you. If you need something open, keep knocking, and I'll open. Just because your family might be unhealthy. Now hang with me, because this is going to sound out of place at first, but hang with me. Just because your family might be unhealthy is not necessarily a reason to abandon that family. Here's what I mean by that. If your kid gets sick, you're going to take that kid to the hospital, and you're going to keep praying for that kid till the kid gets better. You're not going to say, oh, my kid is sick, I'm done with it. Here, hospital, take care of it, I'm done, and walk away. The same thing is true in our families. If our families are unhealthy, then we do two things. First, we get help. Just like taking a kid to the hospital, we get help, and we pray through that health experience. We pray through getting the help we need. We don't have to just turn our back on the unhealthy family and say, I'm done. Healthy families are enriched by prayer. We can get the help we need and pray through the unhealthy times, the unhealthy experiences, until we can be well again. Unhealthy families are made richer, stronger, more powerful by prayer. If your family is healthy, don't be proud, be grateful. Your prayers are prayers of thanksgiving. If your family could be healthier, keep praying, keep trusting, and don't give up. Healthy families are no accident. It takes everybody giving his or her best. Each family member plays a role in determining how healthy the family will be. And with that in mind, I wanted to encourage you and remind you that healthy families are a result of deliberate choices. Healthy families are built on thoughtful behavior. Healthy families are honest with each other. They are more interested in giving than getting. They're protected by faithfulness, and they're enriched by prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for family. We realize that you could have set up this human experience any way you wanted to. You could have just made each of us completely individual, all on our own out there in the world by ourselves. But you chose to put us together in families. And we're grateful. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each family represented here this morning. Make each family stronger, healthier, more honoring to you. And Lord, as we see that as our goal today, to bring you glory by being strong, healthy families, help us to know what we need to do next. Show us what we can do to be the family member we need to be and to have the families that we want to have. And Lord, if that calls us to make a commitment or a decision this morning to make something like that happen, then help us to be courageous enough to step forward and do what you call us to do. We pray in Jesus' name.